Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope your week's off to a tremendous start. Nice to have you here. I am live in Southern California, and we are in the Quicken Loan Studios. Remember to apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. Very good Monday show for you. We are front-loading. So if you want to call the program, do it right now. I've got an interview coming up next segment with Saints defensive end Cam Jordan. I'm going to chase that by talking to a good friend of the program, Jim Trotter from NFL Network, and also a reporter for NFL.com. So I've got those two interviews back-to-back in hour number one. A ton of NFL in that first hour. If there's something you want to talk about as it relates to the divisional round, go ahead, give me a call right now. I've got a lot to get to, but I'd bust open the format for the right call because I know I've got back-to-back interviews. Otherwise, you're not getting through until hour number two. Call me now, 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter, please, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. In hour number two, we talk some baseball with John Morosi. Third hour is wide open. That's how the show sets up. Now, let me start first with some of the things I saw this weekend. Last week, I called my shot. Last week, I told you, even though the Patriots are impossible to beat at home, that even though it's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, that even though you can just write New England into the AFC Championship game every single year, I had a feeling that it was going to be different this time around. Different Chargers, different year, different result. It was going to be different, and I called my shot. I was wrong. In fact, I could not have been more wrong. Pats, 41. Chargers, 28. It wasn't even that close. Not nearly that close. Not even remotely. Clemson, Alabama, cannot believe what a beatdown New England, Los Angeles was. I mean, I'm telling you, it was stunning. I never saw something like that coming. And the truth is, I should have. Not because of the Chargers, but because of the Patriots. This is who they are. This is what they do. And let me say one thing before we really get started here. If you're looking to call or email or tweet with the thought of putting this loss on Philip Rivers, here's my best advice to you. Shut the hell up. Don't bring that around here. Take your phone or your computer, light them on fire. Back over them in your car. Do both, because that's a really bad take. That loss is not on Philip Rivers. I mean, did the guy play his best game ever? No. He'd be the first one to tell you that, too. But every single time that guy dropped back to pass, a couple of pats were right in his chest. And if you think the Chargers lost because he was yelling at the refs or his teammates, you also could not be more wrong about that either. Don't put it on him. And so now I get to eat a nice, steaming pile of crow. And let me tell you something else while I'm doing it, while I'm throwing that down my esophagus. I'm never, never picking against the Pats ever again. Never. Because when I went with the Chargers, I was violating the rule that I myself had repeated time and time again this year, that the Patriots are done when Tom Brady and Bill Belichick say they are done. That's a fact. You think Nick Foles is some kind of playoff zombie? Nick Foles is incredible, but he needs to do what he's done the last 2 years for another decade and a half before he reaches Tom Brady and Bill Belichick zombie level status. So let me repeat this again. The Patriots are done when Tom Brady and Bill Belichick say they are done, and not a second before. You come in with a cool seven defensive back scheme that destroyed a Super Bowl winning head coach last week. Doesn't matter. Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels will humiliate you with their scheme, pick you apart, and embarrass you. They average more than 8 yards per play on their first 25 plays. Throughout most of the first half, the Pats had more first downs than the Chargers had offensive plays. That's how big of a mismatch that turned out to be. You know, the Patriots, the rap, they look old, they look slow, they look gassed out, they look banged up. Doesn't matter. Here are touchdowns on their first 4 drives of the game and 35 points in the first half. Bill Belichick can't find a pass rush. Remember that rap coming in? Can't find a pass rush. Doesn't matter. Here are guys burying Rivers on every single dropback. How about Gronk? Remember Gronk looking close to retirement? Doesn't matter. He's throwing fools around and putting on an absolute clinic as a blocker. I mean, seriously, that was poetry. It doesn't matter that he caught only one pass yesterday. That was one of his best games in a long time. How about Julian Edelman? He also was supposed to be not the same guy. He missed four games with a banned substance at the start of the season. That didn't matter. Nine receptions, 151 yards, and one back-breaking first down after another. And his yards after the catch were absurd. Like, you can say anything and everything you want about how the Patriots are done. And a lot of it was fair, honestly. You know, they'd lost two of their last four coming in. They didn't look great. So say what you want about the fact that they're done, but then they somehow, some way, can show up in January in Foxborough and pick you apart. And that's exactly what they did to the Chargers. Now, I did get a couple of things right about that game. I told you Sony Michel would have to have a huge game. He did. 138 yards from scrimmage, three TDs. I also said that James White would have to have a huge game. He did. 15 receptions, 97 yards on Wisconsin. I'm not sure if that game was over before it started, but it was definitely over after that first drive. An absolute masterclass from McDaniels. Look, I know this guy did his reputation no favors by how he handled things with the Colts last year, and the Colts are better for how he handled things last year. But let me tell you something. It made you forget that he was a brilliant offensive mind, but he reminded you of that yesterday. That 14-play drive that ate up more than 7 minutes was not just a message for the Chargers. That was for everybody everywhere. And that drive had a little bit of everything. Screens, runs, dinks, dunks, and a TD. You know, they won that coin toss. They did not defer. They knew what they were doing. Early in the game, the only question wasn't whether the Patriots would win, but whether Tom Brady's coat could get any bigger than it was. Did you get a load of this guy and that jacket? Was that even a jacket? Or did this guy just wrap himself up in the tarp that covers the field? It's not a coat. It was a circus tent. And the only thing bigger than that jacket was the chip on the shoulder underneath it. Everything everybody said about that team this past week, they heard. And they even heard some things that nobody was saying. And they used it all, as Brady said after the game. Quote, I know everybody thinks we suck.
You know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see.
Like I said, there were some things that were said about that team, maybe even about that guy. I don't remember anybody saying we suck or they suck, much less everybody saying they suck. But, you know, you hear what you want to hear. Devin McCourty had his ears and eyes open as well.
Our quarterback's too old. We're not good enough on defense. You know, skilled players aren't good. We see it.
They did, boy. They did see it. And if you thought the Patriot players were running on some premium fuel, check out the filthy, nasty trash talk from their head coach.
Played a good game today.
Played a good game today. Did you hear him?
Played a good game today.
And that really is the equivalent of the hoodie showing up to the presser, tapping on the mic and saying, is this thing on? Hello? Hello, is this thing on? Good. Let me start off by asking, tell me how my ass tastes.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
That's the kind of attitude and edge that this group is playing with. Everything you think about them is wrong, and every time you try to bury these guys, they come up out of the ground, they rip the shovel out of your hand, and they bludgeon you with it. I cannot believe how good they looked. And I'm not doing that again. I'm done. I'm done with that. They could start next season 0-15, and I still would not rule them out of sneaking into the postseason as a 6 and winning the Super Bowl. I'd check back in 30 years. Tommy and Billy rolling out of the tunnel on their matching Rascal scooters, and I'd still say they're going to win. So, one more time, one last time, the Patriots are done when Tom Brady and Bill Belichick say they're done. And not a second before. And as disappointing as the Chargers were, the Patriots were that unbelievable. And I've got no problem smashing this crow sando. No excuses, no problem smashing that sando, because the Pats effectively just jammed it right down my trachea. Unbelievable performance. And something I want to get to later on, that bye week is so big. That bye week is so enormous, and especially for the Patriots. It's incredible how much they get out of that bye week. I mean, 5 extra days? It looks like they turned the clock back 5 years. 1-800-636-8686. Let's check out the email. Dear Jumpman, We decide when we win and when we bleeping lose, which is bleeping never. Yours, Tommy in the Hood. Alvy, remember that? That's from that frat boy. That's good sound.
Just we decide what f- goes, who goes, and when we win and when we f- lose, which is f- never.
That was flag football. That was not Tommy. That was some frat boy coming back to watch his team play flag football. We decide when we bleeping win and when we bleeping lose, which is bleeping never.
We decide what f- goes, who goes, and when we win and when we f- lose, which is f- never.
You find the best coach ever in terms of getting a team fired up. You find me a better pre- or post-game speech than that one. I mean, Sean Payton rolling in $201,000 in cold, hard cash and a Lombardi and a ring is pretty sweet. But he's got nothing on that, bro.
We decide what f- goes, who goes, and when we win, and when we f- lose. Which is f- never.
Right? That bro right there is Vince Lombardi, Bill Parcells, Sean Payton, Don Shula, all rolled into one. Brendan in the Natty starting us off with that. War Aqib Talib getting nice in that post-game interview. We'll get to that, too. That's a big part of it. The Rams. The Rams heard the Cowboys talking all that noise. And had something for him. Dear Jim, it is too bad that the NFL team from Carson lost so badly yesterday. However, we do not give a rat's ass about that team. We are all about our Los Angeles Rams. Ram it. Bandwagonly yours. Front runningly yours. Every Botoxed, hair plugged, chest implanted, testosterone and estrogen supplementing, BMD driving, BMW driving, house flipping, marathon training, 100% total bag in SoCal. Signed Ramlesks, charter member of the Roman Gabriel fan club. Hey, Ramlesk, you make those things sound like they're bad. You make those things sound like they're negative. Literally everything you just said is positive. Botoxed, positive. Hair plugged, positive. Chest implanted. And testosterone and estrogen supplementing. Right. BMW driving. Of course. House flipping. Made some money. Marathon training. Working on my cardio. 100% total bag in SoCal. There's nothing baggy about any of that. Hey, man, don't hate. Don't be so jealous, Denlesks. Hey, Rome, we thought we got rid of him. We applied all the proper measures, preventative and reactive, but they just keep coming back. They won't go away. No, we're not talking about Mike D for three tweets or Josh in Detroit calls or herpes. We're talking about the freaking Patriots. They will not die. John in Huntington Beach, more returning my Chargers car flags for more Rams car flags. They won't die. When we come back, Saints defensive end Cam Jordan joins me. Wait on that. Jim Trotter right after it. Do you dream of waking up well-rested? Then say hello to Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products at not-so-outrageous prices. They started with mattresses, and now they have pillows, sheets, and more to fully transform your sleep. As a Casper sleeper, I can tell you the mattress is a game-changer. It combines four layers of pressure-relieving foams for all-night comfort. It is softer under your shoulders, firmer under your hips for healthy alignment. Casper has everything you need to create the perfect sleep environment. You also get free shipping, free returns, and a risk-free trial with all the products. Today is the perfect time to upgrade your sleep. Casper's MLK weekend sale is happening right now. Enjoy $100 off when you spend $1,000 or more. Then, Casper will send you another $25 for later so you can stock up on even more snooze supplies. Get $100 off your purchase of $1,000 or more at Casper.com today. Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply. Additional fees may apply for Hawaii and Alaska. Casper.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Effort and Cam Jordan. Jim Trotter coming up next segment. This one makes me laugh. It's really not even funny. Pizza Slayer tweets, "Hey Chargers, have a nice day. Regards, John Bon Jovi." Have a nice day. My man is a brilliant lyricist. Have a nice day. Have a glass of water. How about him rocking out with the old man, Bob Kraft, singing his own song? Boy, Kraft's looking good. Bon Jovi hopes he looks that good 50 years from now. I'm taking nothing away from the Pats. They were incredible on both sides of the ball. Again, I should have known better. I said it myself. If there's one lock, I said it myself. If there's one lock in the NFL, it's the Patriots at home in the divisional round after a bye week. And then I had to chase. If I'd stopped right there, I'd been fine because that's true. But I did chase it with, I think it's different this time around. Drew the Jumpman Jowett. Aw, man. Can you please repeat that? I didn't catch it. I was nervous. Chokingly yours, Alshon Jeffrey. Brock in Buffalo. Wore Rick's ninth grade class, tuning into his broadcast debut yesterday. I want to get to Alshon Jeffrey a little bit later on. I mean, that's a tough moment. But nobody's ever handled a tough moment better than he handled that tough moment by completely owning it. And you shouldn't rush in a pile on this guy when his own teammates had his back. And come to find out that he played that game with some busted ribs, apparently. Should have made the play. Make that catch, and then we're talking about something potentially totally different today. But he didn't. But he owned it. He didn't have a nice day.
Have a nice day.
At JKJ308 tweets, Rivers is a warrior. This was a coaching failure and a defensive failure, not a quarterback failure at all. They will all have another shot next year. This is positive progress for a second-year coach. Great points. All right, so I agree with him. That was not a quarterback failure. That was not a quarterback problem. Philip Rivers is out there until the very end shooting his shot. Going on, playing like a warrior, never gave in, never gave up. That's not his fault. Didn't have his best game. He'd be the first one to tell you that. Now, when this guy says they'll have another shot next year, this is positive progress for a second-year head coach. I hope. From the Chargers' standpoint, I hope. Hey, listen, they will have another shot next year. My only concern is this. Philip Rivers, that was their best shot. He's never played as well as he has this year, and he had his best supporting cast around him this year, but he's 37. And Tom Brady apparently is not going anywhere, and they're playing in the same division with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, who's only now getting started. The Chargers absolutely will have another shot next year. My only concern is that might have been his last best shot. They're not done, but that might have been his last best shot. That's not on him. In no way is that on him. What do you know? Shock of all shocks, Tom Brady destroys a zone. That's no way to go about defending that guy. But the problem with it is the Chargers were banged up. They were down a couple of guys. And that zone is the reason why they were there. That zone got them there. So they tried to stay with what got them there, and it got them murdered. Got to adjust. Hey, Rome. I have no problem. See, I'm glad that we're all getting these things out on the table as I'm efforting Cam Jordan. This is good. This is good that we're getting these things out so I can quickly say these are not the things we're going to do. Hey, Rome, I have no problem downing a Crow Sando either. Well, or any other Sando for that matter. Signed, Cherry Jello Anderson. Lee in Vancouver. CJ Anderson is a load. I tweeted it during the game, and I said, forgive the Caps, he is a freaking load. Notice that I didn't say he's freaking fat. I didn't say that, because he's not. You get this guy off the street, and you see what he's done for that team, and you're going to come in here and come with some lame Cherry Jello Anderson take. They're not where they are without this guy. The Raiders had him. Not that the Raiders would need a guy like that. You pull this guy. This guy literally, and he admitted himself, I had given up on this year. He was moving. Football was the furthest thing from his mind. And this guy just shows up, and they put the rock in his hand. And he destroys. A little more respect for that guy. Hey, Pimp. Yeah. Patriots good, Chargers bad. Don't you have any thoughts on anything else that you saw during any of the other games this weekend? Yours, consuming jelly, Anderson. All right, so I've got a cherry jello Anderson and a consuming jelly Anderson. Get it all out. Get it all out. I love this guy. Not fat. N.F. Anderson. Not fat. Fat guys don't do that to NFL defenses. Fat guys don't do that to a Dallas Cowboy defense. No need for the use of your so-called fat alarm, Alvin. This guy's a stud. They gouged the Cowboys. Hey, Jim. All right, more on that in a minute. As promised, we're joined right now by an all-pro. He is a four-time Pro Bowler, the only defensive lineman in Saints history to reach four Pro Bowls. He had three tackles, a pass defensed, in yesterday's win over Philadelphia. 12 sacks, six passes defensed, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery in the regular season. Played his college ball at Cal, and you've got the Saints hosting the Rams Sunday NFC Championship game. Cameron Jordan is my guest. Cameron, what's up? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back on.
My man, so good to have you back on. In fact, I was going to start there by saying you and I have had a chance to talk on the day after a lot of big wins over the years. But I got to ask, what's it like to wake up Monday morning when you're in the NFC Championship game and you're one win away from the Super Bowl? How's that feel?
I'm just trying to focus on the next game. So I'm not even thinking big picture yet, but it feels pretty good to, you know, play a hard 60 minutes, come out with a great win, and earn another opportunity, earn another chance to play another 60 minutes.
All right, fair enough. So when that game starts off, it didn't start the way, obviously, that you would have liked from either an offensive or defensive standpoint, but nobody seemed to panic whatsoever. When Philadelphia took that 14-0 lead, what was the mood like on the sideline, and what were you guys telling each other?
We're in the thick of things. We're in the middle of this fight. And honestly, there's no other team that, you know, I'd say feels more confident being two touchdowns down in the first quarter. We knew we were going to take, you know, we have to withstand their best shots in that first quarter. We knew that, you know, they were going to come out hot and, you know, try and be a different team than they were the first time we played them. But at the same time, it was up to us to play to our standards. I feel like, this entire season has, this body of work has told you that we're going to play all 60 minutes every game, every chance we get is another opportunity for us to try and make a statement.
Cameron Jordan.
This game said there's less.
Excuse me, Cameron Jordan joining us. Exactly, and it was a significant statement. Now, speaking of being in a fight, did I see you with some Mike Tyson punch-out cleats yesterday? And if so, what's the story behind that?
Just that, you know, we knew we were going to be in a fight. You know, the first time we played go-around, you know, we said it doesn't matter how long the fight is. It doesn't matter how many rounds we have to go. We're going to come out with this win. And, you know, second time around is no different. Different quarterback at helm. You know, a playoff magical, you know, I called him Rondo-esque in the playoffs. When you talk about just the ability of what he's able to do, and we knew we were going to be in a dogfight. So I had some ready to rumble. I had Afro Thunder on one cleat. I had Mike Tyson punch out in the next cleat. And just, you know, just that same mentality of it's going to be a dogfight. Got to be able to come out on top.
Cameron Jordan joining us. So Marshawn Lattimore had the pick that sealed the game. Can you take me through that play? What did you see on it, and what was your reaction when you saw that ball go through Alshon Jeffrey's hands and Lattimore picked it off?
That's a huge play. For him to end up with two interceptions this game, that's huge for our defense. You talk about, you know, the preparation for this week, everything that encompasses what it takes to game week. For it to come out the way it did, I mean, that's just a huge situation for us. He ends up with the interception, go to block the intended Alshon, and after we secure the win, after we secure the interception, you know, I try to go check on my man, but I think that our confidence, our ability to play at such a high standard, showed through.
You know, I was gonna ask you that. I saw you go to check on your man. Did you say anything to Alshon Jeffrey?
No, I was like, you know, I just put the hand out, like, you know, waiting for him to turn over so I can try and help him up. That never happened. So, I understand what it's like to be, you know, on the losing side of a big game. I understand that, you know, you always want to put your team in the best position to win. And, at the end of the day, you know, once the game was secured, again, compassion can take back the heart. You know, you're able to feel the emotions of you know, the implications of the game, of the catch, of the play. So, you know, he sort of stayed down the whole time. So his teammates came to rally around him, and I let that be that.
Cameron Jordan joining us. You know, you talk about being put in a position to win the game. Sean Payton, I think, put you guys in a good position to win the game. Go back earlier in that game. What did you make of him calling that fake punt and then Taysom Hill converting it?
You know, I've said over and over, you know, how confident we are in all three phases of our game, and how confident Sean is, apparently, you know, to go for that, to not only have confidence in the special teams to get that first down, but again, to have confidence in the defense, just in case it becomes a short field situation, we know that we can come up with a big play to make it back in our favor.
Cameron Jordan joining me for a few more moments. You know, there's that now legendary story from last week about Payton showing up with a Lombardi, armed guards, stacks and stacks of cash. Good story. What was your reaction to that whole thing when you first saw it?
Stories are stories. Legends are legends. I will confirm no validity of so said knowledge, but I do know that we have a mission that we have to accomplish, and we're focused on that mission.
My man, I can respect that you can't confirm any semblance of that happening, but I think Mark Ingram already did.
That's something you have to take away with Mark, because this guy here, what happens in the Saints facility, stays in the Saints facility. If there was so said encased amount of money, you know, I would say that it is jaw-dropping to see something like that, and then continue on with saying that, you know, you can't put the cart before the horse. You have to focus on every game like it's the last game, because we're now in single elimination mode.
My man, I couldn't respect that anymore. I respect that this guy here is saying that. Let me just ask you, do you want that in 50s or 100s?
Direct deposit, doesn't matter to me.
Cameron Jordan joining us. Let me finally ask you, what did you think when you guys went on that 11-minute, 29-second drive, what's going through your head as you're on the sideline watching the offense go to work the way it did?
I'm chomping at the bit to get back on the field. You know, you got to do everything you can to keep the legs warm.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, that just shows how much poise and confidence Drew has. That shows the confidence that he has in our offensive line and the ability that our offensive line has to sort of take over a game like that.
Hey, Cam, actually, I lied. One last thought. Are you still enjoying that one, or have you started to think about the L.A. Rams, and what are your initial thoughts about going up against them again?
You know, I fully enjoyed the win last night, but it's a new day. Normally it's a 24-hour world, but this is the playoffs. This is something serious. We're going to start breaking down the Rams in no less than 6 minutes.
All right, then. If you got 6 minutes to start that, I better let you go. Listen, appreciate you very much. As I said, you and I have had a lot of conversations the day after big wins. Really nice to have you on this morning. Thank you.
Much appreciated, always. Thanks for having me on.
You too, Cam. Thank you very much. Cameron Jordan, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Always good to have him right out of the box, though, after a big win like that. He said, I cannot confirm said thing happened. That what stays or what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room when you're talking to this guy. I respect it. Big personality, big time player. 24th player taken in the draft back in 2011 out of Cal. Rams, Saints. Man, that's going to be amazing. And we have all week to talk that one up. 1-800-636-8686. My thanks to Cameron Jordan and the Saints. When we come back, we talk more NFL, the divisional weekend. Jim Trotter all over it too. So all NFL in hour number one. John Morosi coming up next hour. And I've got a lot more to get to myself. Lots of good content today. What do you say? Jump up. Be a part of this thing. Hit me up now. Call me. Tweet at me. Email me. Hit our Facebook page. Hit my Instagram feed. Any way in. There's so many different ways to...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Despite having to smash that crow Sando, I'm having a great Monday. Welcome back. Nice to have you. My thanks to Cameron Jordan. Talking more NFL in hour number one, we are joined right now by a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. Very good friend of the program. My guest is Jim Trotter. Jim, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Romy, what's going on, man?
What's up? How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing tremendous. Thank you.
Good. Listen, you had made the point that going into yesterday's Philadelphia-New Orleans game, that Saints D coordinator Dennis Allen was concerned about how Nick Foles spreads the ball around, and then the guy goes 5 for 5 to 5 different targets in the first TD drive. What did you make of how the Saints defense responded?
You know, there was a lot of anxiety in the building after those first two drives with the Saints, or where the Eagles got up 14-0 and appeared to be driving again before Lattimore's interception. But, you know, it's interesting, Jim, when I talked to Dennis Allen after the game and I said, what changed? And he said, really nothing. He said, we just had to settle in. And he said it wasn't a sense of panic. He said, one, because, you know we have an offense that can score. But he said, two, once guys got a feel for the game, and he said the interception, no question, was huge, that folks just settled in. The other interesting thing that he said to me he felt was that he said, people always say that the bye doesn't make a big deal. He said, but I think it did. He said, because it felt like we wore them down as the game went on. And going into it, one of the things he felt for them to win, that they had to dominate at the line of scrimmage. And as the game went on, you saw they got more and more pressure from the front. So all of the things that he identified, you know, sort of came to fruition in that game after the first quarter.
Yeah, Jim, I'm not sure how anybody could ever argue that the bye does not make a difference. Look at this past weekend. It made a huge difference to everybody. Jim Trotter is my guest. Then on the other side of the ball, Jim, you have this great piece on Michael Thomas in the build-up to the game, and I'll get to the piece in a minute. But before we do, what do you make of his performance, which included 12 receptions for a franchise record, 171 yards, and the go-ahead TD?
You know, what's interesting is that after the game, I asked him, I said, was there any point during the week where you foresaw this type of performance? And he said, no. He goes, actually, I was getting antsy. And I said, what do you mean you were getting antsy? And he said, the first time we played them, I only got 4 targets, which was a season low for him, even though he had 92 yards and a TD. And so he was trying to figure out, how are they going to play me this time? Are they going to do like they did the first time and double me around the field? He goes, they can't triple team me. He goes, or are they going to believe that their secondary now is playing well enough that they can single me? So he said there was, you know, a little bit of anxiety going in, and after the slow start, you know, it starts to build a little. But he said once he made the first big catch, he said then, like the others, he settled in and he just started making his plays. So while, you know, he consistently tells us how good he is, and we know how good he is, even he was somewhat surprised that he had that kind of day, simply from the standpoint that he was uncertain how they would try and defend him. And clearly they never adjusted as the game went on. They kept allowing him to run those deep digs and ends. And the thing that was fascinating to me about him, Jim, in that game is on the critical drive where they took the lead, you know, with the go-ahead score on his 2-yard touchdown. You know, they had a 2nd and 9, and he gets 11 yards. They had a 2nd and 20, and he picks up 20 yards. They had a 3rd and 16. He picks up 20 yards. So all those big plays, you know, drive extending plays, momentum shifting plays, those sorts of things, he was able to come up with, and it was like the Eagles never adjusted to it.
That's hard to believe, right? Jim Schwartz and that defense, Jim Trotter joining us. That's hard to imagine, but everything about this guy to me is kind of hard to imagine when you look at his background, which you lay out in the piece includes a detail, Jim, that sometimes Sean Payton will line up a cornerback to hit his receivers with some press coverage. How did that go for Payton when he tried that on Thomas?
Not too well. Sean told me that, you know, he felt like he had dislocated his finger, and he said he actually had to go to the training room because of chest pain he was having. And he said, look, I've done that with Joe Horn. I did it with Marcus Colston. I did it with other receivers, he said, but I will never do it again with Michael Thomas, he said, because I don't want any broken bones. So he said, you know, in Michael's eyes, you know, Sean was just another faceless person who was standing in his way. And that's kind of how he plays. He said he's only had 2 players who have ever gone full speed in walkthroughs. And he said one was Darren Sproles and the other one is Michael Thomas. And he said every day that's the way he practices, full speed, all go, attention to detail, those sorts of things.
I'm not sure that everybody understands this or knows this fact, Jim, but how do you explain that this guy did not start in high school until he was a senior and he's doing what he's doing in the first 3 years of his NFL career?
You know what's really fascinating? I mean, you go back to even Pee Wee. He played 3 years of Pee Wee, and he was never a starter there, and his dad told me that it was because he was sort of undersized. He said he had great hands, but he was undersized, and he said he felt the coaches were afraid that he might get hurt. And he said, he goes, Michael was one of those must-play guys. And I said, what's a must-play guy? And he says, one of those must-play guys, you must play at least a quarter because they paid their money to be on the team. And then he says he gets to, you know, a freshman in high school, and he plays a little bit, but he doesn't start. And his dad ends up pulling him out of there because he started acting up a little bit, or as his dad said, he got a little full of himself with some things that were going on, and homeschooled him for a year. And then when he went to Taft, you know, they were a running team, and he still had not developed as a receiver, or his body had not filled out yet. And so he didn't play much his junior year, only on Hail Mary situation, so to speak. And they came up with a plan after his junior year where they said, you know, look, how can we get to where we want to go? And it became bigger, faster, stronger. And his dad built a weight room in the house. And Michael was in there religiously working out and those sorts of things. And then that summer after his junior year, he got with his uncle, Keyshawn Johnson, and started going to seven-on-seven leagues and those sorts of things to develop. And really, it took off. And I'll leave you on this. The fascinating thing about his story in high school is that he had never been a starter. He goes into his senior year, and he tells his quarterback, I want 2,000 yards receiving and 30 touchdowns. And I remember saying to him, how do you come up with those numbers and you've never even started? And that's just his mentality. And he finished with over 1,600 yards and 21 touchdowns, so he wasn't that far off.
Jim Trotter joining us, a reporter and storyteller for NFL Media. Those are amazing stories. Jim, let me ask you about Drew Brees. You have covered him for a long, long time, and you and I have talked about the stories from his confidence back when he was with San Diego and things were not looking so good. Knowing his backstory the way you do, what do you think when you watch him play right now?
Man, nothing with him surprises me. And if there's, I've always said, you know, and it took time for me to get to this point, but if there's one quarterback I never would bet against, it would be Drew Brees. I think I've said to you before, he's so singularly focused and so wired, unlike anyone I've ever known. And there's just no give to him, no quit to him. And he is going to explore every avenue to maximize the abilities that he has. And so for me to see where he is now, obviously I'm not surprised. But I think I've told you this story that here's all you need to know about him. When they, in 2004, when they made the draft day trade to get Phillip Rivers, and everybody felt that Phillip was going to be the guy. And I had to go talk to Drew after that draft. And I said, I got to ask you about it, Phillip being here now. And he looked me in the eyes and he said, this is my team. We're going to the playoffs, and I'm going to the Pro Bowl. And they hadn't been to the playoffs, I think, in 8 years. And I'll be damned that year if it wasn't his team, they went to the playoffs, and he went to the Pro Bowl. He's just wired that way, Jim.
Jim Trotter, my guest. Jim, I got about 60 seconds. I know you could use more time than that. But speaking of the Chargers, what do you make of the way the Patriots dismantled them?
Truthfully, Jim, I feel like I fell for the okey-doke again. You know, every time I start to think that the Chargers have changed and it's not the same old team, this happens. And the bottom line is in that game they got out-coached. There's no way around that. They did not adjust to things. They kept getting beaten on the play-action pass. And then they got gashed up front. So, you know, they talked the talk about, you know, any place, any squad. And then when the opportunity presented itself, they didn't show up. But the other thing it reminds me of, again, falling for the okey-doke, because I fell for the Patriot okey-doke thinking that you know, this was the year they were going to drop off, and they didn't. So Tom Brady and Bill Belichick do it to us again.
You and me both, my friend. You and me both. He is a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. You should read his book, Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. Consider him a very good friend of the program. Jim, great to have you back. Really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Romy.
You got it. Jim Trotter, you're so good. One of the best. All right, there's hour number one. Good, good first hour. We had Cameron Jordan, Jim Trotter. I was able to limit your moronic, fat CJ Anderson tweets and emails. And now we reset for hour number two. I'm going to change up on you. We'll talk some baseball and maybe some hockey in hour number two with John Morosi. That's not until 40 past. I definitely want to get into the other games. I did lead the show by slamming that Crow Sando. I'm willing to do it all day long. I had that coming to me. Yeah, I kind of am guilty to what Jim Trotter talked about, that okey-doke for the Chargers and the Patriots both. I thought that it was going to be different. It was not different. But even then, it's one thing to lose that game. It's one thing for it not to be different. But I did not see them getting fed to the wood chipper the way they were. I did not see that hospital job. I didn't see that beatdown. So I own that. I'll own it again, but I do want to get into the other matchups too. How'd you do with your bets over the weekend? I had a pretty interesting play that saved my weekend that I may share with you. I had a very interesting flight to Dallas Friday night that I may share with you. And I do have time for your phone calls. 1-800-636-8686. Hour number two, straight ahead.